often we struggle to do the right thing. Or is it just me? I see people try and try and try to honour God and yet still fail. Trying just isn't going to do it. What we need first is a change of heart. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and welcome again to the program as today we take another look at the power of God's Word from a different perspective. If I were to ask you today, what is the one thing that you're focusing on at the moment? What would that be? What's the biggest thing going on in your heart at the moment? The truth is that from time to time, the things of this earth grab our attention. Some of those things are good things. Some of those things are bad things. In a few months' time, my daughter's going to be getting married. Well, you can imagine, that's pretty much the focus of things in our household at the moment. There's nothing wrong with any of that, unless and until the things of this world bubble to the top of our priority list above God Himself. And when that happens, our lives have a way of going pear-shaped. All of a sudden, when we get our priorities the wrong way round, we start to live out the consequences of that. So let me come back to that question. What is your heart focused on at the moment? What's at the top of your list? Psalm 119, verses 35 and 36. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. This psalm is written by a man who's speaking to God. So when he says, lead me in the path of your commandments and turn my heart to your decrees, he's asking God to do those two things for him. Psalm 119 blows me away. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses all in all. And the majority of it is a prayer asking God essentially to help this man who is writing it to get his life straight by getting God's word into his heart. That's the bottom line of the whole psalm. God, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. That's a great admission because it happens to be true. And here in verses 35 and 36, the psalmist is asking God to turn his heart to God's decrees rather than to his own selfish gain. That's the pivot point in our hearts, isn't it? Our whole lives swing on this hinge between honouring God and selfish gain, between right and wrong. And that's why I keep asking you, what's the focus of your heart right at the moment? Where is your heart? Focused on honouring God or on selfish gain? The answer matters. It matters a lot. There is such power in the Word of God to set you free from your selfishness. Why is it that people leave their Bibles on a shelf somewhere gathering dust? God has the power to set you free, free from the consequences of sin. All you need to do is to ask him for his help, and he will step in. And here's the thing about God's help. It's intensely practical, intensely real. In our lives on this earth, you and I, we're prone to trusting things that we can see. It's only natural. We live in a physical world, so we trust in physical things. We know, for instance, that tonight the sun will set, and in the morning it'll rise again. We trust in relationships. We trust in our circumstances, good or bad. We trust in our pay packets, in our bank balances. And to a point, that's as it should be, to a point. Up until the point where we trust in those things above and beyond who God is and what he says he will do. At that point, you've started trusting your life into things that are not worthy of that level of trust. If you have a share portfolio that's worth a certain amount of money, hey, the market could plummet tomorrow. The same is true of every other physical thing on this earth. They can give way in an instant. And so often we're caught out because we've placed our trust in the wrong things. That's why we need God's help, his intensely practical help to get our hearts focused on the right things. Psalm 119, verses 37 to 40. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts in your righteousness. Give me life. So here the psalmist is asking God to turn his eyes away from all those vanities, all those false idols in which we place our trust. What idols are you trusting in at the moment? In what vanities have you placed your trust? Father God, Turn my eyes from looking at those vanities and give me life in your ways. Literally, give me living energy to pursue the way marked out by you, our God. That's it. That's what I need. That's what you need. Living energy, Holy Spirit energy to head God's way, to trust God to lead us forward, rather than placing our hope in false idols. Friend, God's promises are true. Those false idols ultimately are going to lead you to disgrace. But God's promises will never fail. God, I've seen that your ways are good. I long for your ways. Lead me in them. Give me life. What a great prayer. What a powerful way to change your heart. Try as we might, we cannot change our own hearts for ourselves. But God's living energy, the power of his word, the power of his spirit, that's where we get a change of heart. That's where we get a change of focus. God doesn't want you to continue trusting in idols, dreading the disgrace that they will ultimately bring. He wants to shift your focus, transform your heart with his living energy. Because when we walk in God's ways, then all of a sudden we discover what freedom really is. It pains me to tell you this, but for the first 36 years of my life, I thought I was free, free to live my life the way I wanted. But now, looking back on that time before I accepted Jesus into my heart, I realize that I was nothing but a captive. The best way to describe it is that I looked successful and happy on the outside, but on the inside, I was plagued by fear and doubt. On the inside, I was a complete mess. That's because I was a captive rather than living as a free man. That's because the expectations of this world dominated my heart. Again, the psalmist puts it like this. Psalm 119, verses 41 to 46. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your ordinances. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I shall walk in liberty, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your decrees before kings, and shall not be put to shame. I really get that bit about having an answer for those who taunt me. The criticism, the mockery of others used to be like arrows into my heart. Let me ask you, to what extent are you marching to the beat of the world's drum? To what extent are you dancing to the tune of the expectations of others? And when you can't meet those expectations, people criticize you, people reject you, they throw you out like a worthless piece of trash. We spend way too much time and energy striving, sacrificing, performing in order to receive the approval of others, only to fail, only to miss the mark, only to discover that it's a pursuit that's hollow and empty and simply not worth the effort. But the more we get into God's word, the more we discover the steadfast love that God has for us, the more we get to know God's word and trust God's word, the less those things matter. And the less those things matter, the more we discover the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. I shall walk in liberty, for I have sought your precepts. Yes, hallelujah, absolutely. Freedom, God's freedom. There is such freedom when we get it into our hearts that we're meant to live our lives for an audience of one. That's what God has ready and waiting for you. True freedom in his ways, in his precepts, in his word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Before we go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you, because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in prayer. God's word says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please allow us to pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time Monday with a different perspective.